welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, April 9th, 2018. I'm your host, Scott Burton. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, Hope Griffin and Jamie Lee Bennett will preview their performance at the Alaska Folk Festival and get some live music here in the studio. We'll talk with Ron Somerville about the Northern Southeast King Salmon Crisis. Joanne Flora will update Reach's 40th anniversary celebration. Brenda White will talk Autobahn. And we'll hear about workshops on how to make your art career sustainable. Those interviews, National Native News, Bird Note Music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon. Currently 47 degrees with light rain here in the capital city.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes in for Antonio Gonzalez. Federal officials are investigating three separate shootings of eagles on the Navajo Nation. The Farmington Daily Times reports all three eagles were found with their tail feathers removed on Navajo Agricultural Products Industry Headquarters property near Farmington, New Mexico. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is working with Navajo Nation police in the investigation. The newspaper reports the female golden eagle was found Friday. It underwent surgery for a gunshot wound to its wing and other injuries. Officials told the paper the bird may be able to be re-released to the wild after extensive rehabilitation. A male bald eagle and a male golden eagle were found previously. The bald eagle died from an infection after surgery. The male golden eagle had part of a wing amputated. U.S. Fish and Wildlife officials are offering a $3,000 reward for information to catch those responsible. The last scheduled hearing of Canada's inquiry into missing and murdered women and girls got underway during the weekend in British Columbia. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, it's still unclear if the Commission of Inquiry will receive an extension to continue.
It was the last opportunity for many family members to tell their stories about loved ones murdered or missing over the decades. People like Cynthia Cardinal, who lost her sister.
I found out by reading it in the Edmonton Sun newspaper. I remember that I couldn't stop shaking and crying with disbelief.
The hearings in Vancouver are the last scheduled after the inquiry was established in 2015 by the government to look into the disproportionately high numbers of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. The Chief Commissioner, Marion Buller, says the inquiry still has a lot of work to do, and she opened the proceedings with again asking the government to give the inquiry more time.
This week we're going to hear from our 1,000th witness. That speaks to the importance of the work that we're doing.
Buller and the other commissioners had asked the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau last month for a 2-year extension. Buller says she has enough material now for a report, but says it will only touch on the surface of the issues. The Minister of Indigenous Relations and Northern Affairs has said the government will consider the request. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Two federal agencies have sanctioned the Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux tribes over more than $1 million in disputed police expenditures. The Billings Gazette recently reported the actions over the past few years after the paper received dozens of federal and tribal documents. The Gazette reports the tribe neglected to repay $1.6 million over 9 years. The agency also says the tribes also neglected to perform proper background checks on police officers. The tribal chairman told the paper the issues have since been resolved. Bills to nullify Minnesota's law designed to protect wild rice habitat are working their way through the state's legislature. WCCO-TV reports the bills in both the House and Senate face additional committees early this week. They would do away with a 1973 law that limits the amount of sulfate discharges in waters that support wild rice. Tribes and environmental groups oppose the action. Mining interests and cities support doing away with the rules, saying the state has never been able to enforce the standard in the decades since it was established. The state's Pollution and Control Agency is working on a formula to update the original law. An administrative law judge rejected that proposal in January. The three federally recognized Cherokee tribes are collaborating for the 5th year in a row on one of the National Museum of the American Indians' most popular events. The museum's Cherokee Days starts April 13th and runs 3 days. It includes performances and live cultural art demonstrations. It coincides with a new exhibition created by the Cherokee Nation called Trail of Tears, A Story of Cherokee Removal. The Cherokee Nation, Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, and United Katoa Band of Cherokee Indians are all taking part in the event. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at www.sanofsky.com.
Native American businesswomen can connect, learn, and share collective experiences April 13th and 14th in Albuquerque at the first Native Women's Business Summit. Info, agenda, and registration at nativewomenlead.org. Support by New Mexico Community Capital.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a June afternoon here on Monday, April 9th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host, and in the studio now is Hope Griffin and Jamie Lee Bennett. They are in from North Carolina here for the Folk Fest. They'll be playing tomorrow night, Tuesday at 9:45, and some other gigs throughout the capital city this week. Welcome to the show, Jamie Lee and Hope. Nice to have you here.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You know, you brought your beautiful guitar and cello here. Why don't we just start off with a little bit of music?
Absolutely. Let's do it. This is a song called Hanging in the Balance off of our first album. Make a move instead of standing in place, guys.
Maybe love ain't that far away. You can say what you will, or say what you won't. You're hanging the balance of a door zone. The path that you take could be make or break, but right or wrong, you're destroyed. And you're moving along. Got a letter today. First one she sent since May. She's so afraid of what it will say.
Yeah. That's Hope Griffin, and she's on guitar and singing there for you. Jamie Lee Bennett's in the studio as well over on cello. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
I hope you have roots here in Alaska.
I do.
But this is your first folk fest.
It is, yeah.
Tell us about yourself.
So I was born in Anchorage. My dad was born and raised here. And then I moved out when I was rather young, about 5 years old, but stayed on the West Coast. And then my dad's job moved us to the East. And so I was there for the rest of my life so far. But I moved to Asheville and started getting into that music scene. I actually went to school to study classical voice and got my bachelor's in classical voice. And then moved to Asheville and didn't know that it was such a vibrant music scene there. And so started doing music there professionally and gigging and writing songs, and have since put out 3 albums and joined up with Jamie Lee here. And we've been a band for 3.5 years, and now we're branching out of the Southeast and getting our feet wet in the Northwest. So this is our first time doing music in Alaska, and we're really excited to be here.
How did you two find each other, Jamie Lee?
We actually found each other on Craigslist. Surprisingly enough, I was moving from Las Vegas to Asheville, kind of on a whim. Didn't want to live in Vegas anymore and didn't know where I wanted to go. So I went to Asheville and I was looking for music jobs and searching everywhere, and found a posting on Craigslist. Decided to see if it was legitimate or not, and it ended up working out pretty well.
A duo was born.
All right. What was the name of the tune you just did?
That was called Hanging in the Balance. That was from the first album I put out in 2015. And there's a couple other songs we'll be doing throughout the week from that album, too. We'll be doing songs from both albums. We actually just put out a Christmas album, 2017. It feels like it was forever ago, but it wasn't. But we'll be doing our original music from the first 2 albums. So, yeah, we're excited.
Would you say the song you just played is indicative of your style and what you do?
Very, very, yeah, very similar. Our style is folk, acoustic folk in majority, and we do a lot of slow ballads. We have a lot of, on the albums, cello and violin accompaniment, string harmonies. And we also dabble in blues, and we dabble in dusty westerns, too. But, yeah, we try to embellish all the folk. But I'm well-known, best known for my ballads. For sure.
Will you do another one for us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. This is on the second album we put out. This is called Curious, a little more lighthearted. Here we go.
Curious about you. to make sure your growth interest doesn't show you're curious. Curious about me, I'll make you so curious. Curious about me, is that a face mask and feelings you try to hide? 'Cause I can't tell what secrets lie behind those eyes. Is that a face mask and feelings you try to hide? 'Cause I can't tell what secrets lie behind those eyes. I'm so curious, curious about you. I know you are so curious, curious, and know we are so.
What's that one called?
Curious, as you might have known or could tell.
So you've been playing professionally for a long time, but you were telling me you just recently went full-time.
Yeah, that was exciting. So I have been playing, gigging around Asheville in the Southeast region primarily since 2010, but recently started picking that up and doing more shows and was getting really busy. And so January 1, I went full-time music, and so have been doing that since. And actually been doing a lot of traveling, as you can see, since then. So it's been exciting.
So remind us where and when you'll be playing this week in Juneau.
Yeah, so I knew I was coming up here for the Folk Fest. My brother lives in Juneau, and so he's been kind of hounding me to get here and do this, so we're excited. But we're definitely going to be playing at the Folk Fest Tuesday night at 9:45. We also, just before that, we're going to be doing a free show at the University of Alaska Southeast in one of their lecture halls. We're also going to be at Heritage Coffee on Thursday from 4 to 7. And then we're also going to be at the Viking Lounge on Friday. So we're making the rounds.
And I bet all those times and places are on your website?
Yes. You can go to my website at hopegriffinmusic.com on the upcoming shows tab. And there's a list of all of our Juneau shows here this week.
Jamie Lee, first impressions of Juneau?
It's absolutely stunning. I can't wait to explore.
Beautiful. The mountains are amazing.
Gorgeous. Completely gorgeous.
And you're here all week, so.
All week, yeah. We'll have lots to do, lots to explore, lots to see.
Excellent. Give us your website once more, please.
HopeGriffinMusic.com.
Okay, we're going to go out with Right Where You Want Me. What should we listen for in this tune?
You should listen for the pretty violin and cello harmonies and that solo in the middle.
All right, Hope Griffin, thanks for coming on the show. Jamie Lee Bennett.
Thanks for having us.
Have a great week.
Thanks so much.
You're a hamburger dinner 2 hours too late. You always run out of gas when you've been on empty. You go out of your way just to tell me you disagree. Oh, but you got me, baby. You got me right where you want me. Exactly. delivery. You forget your wallet on the way to the movie, and you lock all your doors with a key laying in the sea. Oh, but you've got me, baby. You've got me right where you want me.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Monday, April 9th, 2018. It's about 20 minutes past the top of the hour. Here in Studio A with me now is Ron Somerville. He is representing the Territorial Sportsman. We're going to be talking about a meeting a week from today on Monday, April 16th, to talk about the Northern Southeast Alaska King Salmon Crisis. Ron, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So, Territorial Sportsmen, what are you guys all about?
Well, we're a local organization. We put on the Golden North Salmon Derby every year. This will be the 72nd continuous derby, annual derby. And just for a side note, it has resulted in almost $1.8 million in local scholarships for local kids. That's probably our most noteworthy thing. We do a lot of other stuff, you know, help with kids' derbies and kids' fishing days. We help build cabin for state park for public use, and so we're heavily involved in that. We also we have a membership of about 1,600 people here in Juneau, and so we represent them at the Board of Fish meetings and other board meetings like Board of Game.
And it looks like this meeting a week from today is in cooperation with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. How would you, Ron, define, you know, it says the Northern Southeast King Salmon Crisis. What is our crisis?
Well, at least those people that follow fishing closely have seen stuff in the paper here in the last couple, 3 days from Fish and Game announcements saying the King Salmon season is closed this spring. That's a crisis. Mainly because we target Taku River king salmon early in the spring. We catch a few Chilcat kings, and we catch local hatchery kings here as well. But the Taku stocks, just to illustrate the problem, the department has an escapement goal of 19,000 to 36,000 fish that they want to be going up the river every year to maintain the runs. They're predicting next year that there will be an escapement of 4,700. That's less than 20% of the minimum escapement goal. So that's a crisis. Every fish that we need to push up the river and help Fish and Game with that. And they've responded. And we went to the Fish and Game, or the Board of Fish meeting, in Sitka this year, and we all agreed we have a real major problem on our hands.
What would the Territorial Sportsmen like to see happen?
We've advocated for about what Fish and Game is doing. That is, close down the early runs that target the Taku kings or catch a significant number. That's the sport fishery. It's totally closed. Some of the troll fisheries, the late winter troll fishery, is closed. And essentially a good part of the inside fisheries, all the fisheries, are shut down this year. It's not just the Taku and the Chilcat. I want to emphasize this. It's a region-wide and almost statewide problem of king salmon stocks that haven't done very well.
All right. So this meeting's a week from today at Centennial Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. Again, it's in cooperation with Territorial Sportsmen and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Ron, who would benefit from going to this meeting?
Well, for one thing, if people aren't certain what the regulations are, this is a chance to ask. There'll be a dialogue between the public and Fish and Game, opportunity to ask lots of questions about why and where and what are the impacts. The commercial fishermen are being impacted as well as the sport fishermen, so they're concerned about what their regulations are. It's just an opportunity to determine why we're in this particular situation.
Okay, again, that's a week from today, Monday, April 16th, 2018, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Centennial Hall. A meeting between and to organized in cooperation between the Territorial Sportsman and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Ron Somerville here in the studio. Thanks for coming on the show, Ron. Is there anything we're missing or anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, I would just add that this is the third time we've put on the symposium on the same issue, and it's continued to get worse, so we just feel like the public needs to know what's going on.
Okay. Ron, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I've been thinking lately about the people I meet, the car wash on the corner and the hole in the street, the way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet, and I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue, then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. I was in the army, but I never dug a trench. Used to bust my knuckles on a monkey wrench. I go to town and drink, give the girls a pinch, but I don't think they ever even notice me. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish and whistle, or whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. And when we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again. 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 Oh, my very first job, I said thank you and please. They made me scrub a parking lot down on my knees. Then I got fired for being scared of bees, and they only give me 50 cents an hour. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in the heaven. A whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. And when we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again. 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 Oh, Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, April 9th. We're pretty close to the bottom of the hour. My guest now is Joanne Flora. She is the Fund Development Director over at REACH. And as many of you know, they are celebrating their 40th anniversary with a celebration this Saturday night fundraiser, food, the Big Wing Ding.
The Big Wing Ding.
This Saturday.
Food, bar, music. Silent auction, and we'll be drawing for our 40th anniversary raffle.
7 p.m., Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall, right?
Say that again?
Elizabeth Paratrovich,
yeah.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall, yeah. That's why some people just say EP, because it's such a mouthful, you know?
Well, all right. Tickets are still available.
We do, yes. We have tables available for $4.50. They're tables of 10, or individual tickets for $50 each. And it's going to be great. We've got some nice silent auction items, including an air trip with Alaska Seaplanes, and food and activities. And those of you who've been buying raffle tickets, we're going to draw that night too. We'll also have additional raffle tickets for sale at the event. We're very excited because, first of all, we are 40 years old, having started in a basement, and we've never done anything like this before. This is the first time REACH has done a big agency-wide community dinner.
And correct me if I'm wrong, REACH, one of Juno's largest nonprofit employers. Why else should we support REACH, Joanne? Why should we come on Saturday?
Well, you should come on Saturday because we asked you to. You should also come on Saturday because REACH serves developmentally disabled people in Juno and six other Southeast Alaska communities. So we really have a fairly wide footprint of service, and it's really important to keep this kind of thing alive and well, because we serve people often from infancy throughout their entire lives.
Okay. Where can people get tickets?
They can call me at 796-7202. They can waltz right into the canvas where they'll see the new show from First Friday, which is a stunner. And if you didn't see it, you still should get in there and see it. And while you're there, you can buy tickets for the event. They can also go online to canvasarts.org and buy them online.
What was your phone number again?
796-7202.
Or canvasarts.org.
Canvasarts.org, yes.
This Saturday,
this 7 p.m.,
Elizabeth Petrovich Hall.
That's right, reaches 40th anniversary
birthday.
You mentioned
music. Who's playing music?
DJ Manu.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, he's also one of our employees. I don't know if you know that he works in the infant learning. I think he works in the infant learning department or in the infant learning program. And he's been with us for a while. So he's going to also do some music for us.
And remind us who will be preparing your food that evening.
Oh, my goodness. Breeze In, reception buffet style. That'll be very nice. And they're even making us a big Reach birthday cake.
Okay. This Saturday night, everyone, at the Elizabeth Petrovich Hall, 7 p.m., this is Joanne Flora. She's the Fund Development Director. This is Reach's 40th anniversary. Join them, 7 p.m., canvasarts.org for tickets. Or 796-7202. Joanne, thank you so much. Anything else?
Just thank you very much. We really appreciate the opportunity to come on to KTOO and talk about the cool things that are going on with Reach.
You name it.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2018 Juno Jazz and Classics Festival with events you know and love, including Strings at the Shrine, Putting on the Ritz, and this year, Jazz and Classics has added a classical brunch cruise. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and online at jazzandclassics.org. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics. Support for this station comes from Alaska Probiotics, with local, organic kombucha on tap at various locations throughout town, including Rainbow Foods, Copa, The Narrows, and Flying Squirrel. More at akprobiotics.com.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Monday, April 9th, about 25 minutes till the top of the hour. Scott Burton, your host today here on A Juno Afternoon, and joining me now in Studio A is Brenda Wright, and we're talking about Spring Into Birding this Thursday, the Audubon presentation out at the UAS Rec Center, room 116. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. It's nice to be back.
Yeah. And it's spring indeed, isn't
it? Oh, it sure is. I'm sure everybody's seen a robin by now. At least I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Spring Into Birding, what's Thursday's presentation going to look like?
Oh, this is going to be a really fun one. This is a potluck of photographers and experts. We've asked a lot of people in Juneau that take really fine bird pictures to share them with us, especially if they're a little hard to identify. And then our experts are going to help us look up at the screen and say, yes, that little teeny tiny thing with the yellow legs is one thing and not the other because it's got yellow legs.
Sounds like fun. About how many people have contributed pictures, would you say?
Well, so far there's been 8, and they range in age from 11 to 80.
Beyond the robin, who are a few of the usual suspects you're starting to recognize?
The red-breasted sapsuckers are here. I've heard hooters, suited grouse are calling on the hillsides. The varied thrush are singing in some places. And certainly a lot of other activity of the birds that just live here.
I thought I saw some American dippers the other day. Do they take off and come back?
They live with us all year round.
Okay.
Yep, you're likely to see them in Gold Creek when the mountainside is really frozen because it's open down here.
Okay, this is a silly question, Brenda. There's a couple pigeons that hang out at K2 in
yes.
the back.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen them all winter. Where do you think the pigeons
go?
You know,
that's really interesting because they have been moving around. They used to always live downtown, but now there's a small colony of them out at Lena Beach. Why? I don't know. It must be the fruit tree that's there.
So the pigeons don't migrate, right?
No, they don't. Once they got here, they stayed. And they are not normal native Alaskan birds, but they've been here a long time.
Okay. So your presentation is Thursday at 7. This is your last free lecture or
yes,
talk?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, we have lectures between October and April. And right after this, April 21st, is our first bird walk. So every Saturday, unless it's a Berners Bay cruise, we're going to have bird walks from April 21st through June 15th.
Okay.
This one's going to be at Fish Creek.
Oh, sounds like fun. If people want to get involved with Audubon, what's the best way to do it?
You know, you should just check our webpage. We have all our walks there and what times and places and a free bird list and information about finding birds in Juneau.
And what is your website again?
It's a great one, www.juno-audubon-society.org. But if you do Juno Audubon, it will pop right up.
Okay. Meet Brenda and friends this Thursday, 7 p.m. at the UAS Rec Center out in Auk Bay. It's in room 116 for Spring Into Birding. Sounds like a fun group collection of hard-to-identify birds.
Yeah, come. The birds are coming back, and you should be able to identify them a little bit better with this help.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. As Bird Note writer Bob Sundstrom sat by the window one morning recently, watching birds flit through his yard, a subtle movement caught his eye. A mourning dove lay belly down on the soil of a garden bed, its plumage of earth-tone browns and grays blending perfectly with the earth. The slight movement came as the dove fluffed its feathers, then relaxed its wings, draping them outward to expose fully its back and rump to the morning sun. The night had been cool, but the sun offered warmth. The morning dove appeared to drowse, trance-like, its eyes nearly closed. Such was the bird's quiet and camouflage that it took a moment to discern 4 more doves lying close by, also sunning themselves. A great many birds sun themselves, often in postures that give maximum sun exposure to the head, neck, and upper surfaces of the body and wings. We have a variety of theories about why, from driving out parasites from hard-to-reach places to releasing vitamin D and boosting energy reserves with solar radiation. It may very well be that it feels good, too, that sunbathing is just as soothing as the morning dove's call. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Support for this station comes from GCI, offering new technology solutions with CloudFlex SD-WAN, working to keep Alaska's communities and economy thriving. GCI is a partner in possibilities.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, April 9th, 2018. Scott Burton, your host. I have a crew of artists on the line from KRBD Public Media down in Ketchikan, Sharon Loudon, Hrog Vartanian, Matthew Delegate. They are going to be participating in a town hall meeting that you can view from the Mendenhall Public Library this afternoon, here coming up at 4 o'clock from 4 to 6. And then they'll be here in Juneau tomorrow on Tuesday, giving a workshop from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, really focusing on living and sustaining a creative life. Sharon, Hrog, Matthew, welcome to the show.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to have you all here. I guess, Sharon, start with you, living and sustaining a creative life, this tour that the three of you are doing around Alaska. How did this come to be?
So there's an artist named Pat Shelton who lives in Anchorage, and she contacted me because she participated in a webinar with Creative Capital that Matthew and I do together, and she said, we really want to bring you to Alaska on your tour. I'm on a big conversation tour through the United States and a few other countries, and tomorrow will be our 91st stop on that tour, and I wanted to end this tour in Alaska. Pat is a very generous artist who's a community builder. And she said, how do we make this happen? So we partnered with the IGCA in Anchorage, and along with five other foundations, they brought us here to be able to listen and receive a lot of wants and needs from the artists throughout Alaska, to engage and be catalysts, to create opportunities for them, and to share what we know about how to live and sustain a creative life as an artist. And I'm thrilled to be here. And thanks for having us here today. It's exciting to be here in Juneau this afternoon.
And you are all artists, arts advocates, editors, curators. Hrog, maybe stop with you next. How are you participating, and what are you contributing to this?
Well, the whole conversation tour is really key for me because it's sort of a way to reach different kinds of audiences and talking to artists directly in their own backyard. And often, I think particularly when you're based in New York, it feels very inaccessible to people outside of the city. And this is a way to bring them in and sort of, you know, really, it's a way of also sort of welcoming them into the conversation and sort of showing the fact that we're there and really interested in what they have to say. And honestly, a healthy ecosystem is really crucial for what all of us do. And, you know, in the case of Alaska, that's definitely part of that bigger ecosystem. And so we're finding a lot of overlap. I mean, we're encountering people that, you know, we have mutual friends. We're encountering all these different things going on. And you realize that the synergy is already there. And we're just trying to, you know, figure out ways to cooperate or connect people.
Okay. And Matthew, what's your contribution to the team?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I was originally a contributor to the second book that Sharon Loudon produced. I wear a lot of different hats, like the team here and many of the artists that we've met so far on our tour. Being a visual artist, I'm a painter and a curator and a writer, and I run a gallery and get to do a lot of teaching. And I've actually had, interestingly enough, the opportunity to meet many of these artists that we're meeting in person, originally online over the past few months. I get to work with a really amazing organization in New York City called Creative Capital, where I oversee their online learning initiative. And we've been doing great work with Alaskan artists for many years now, but I've never really had a chance to meet them in person. So this is a really meaningful visit for me.
All right. Let's use an example, if you will. This goes out to all three of you. Imagine an artist named Bill in Ketchikan who's your target audience? Is Bill a musician? Is Bill a a visual artist, a musician, a painter? And he's trying to make a sustainable life as an artist, and he's struggling. He's got debt from college. What do you do with Bill?
Okay, I'll take that. First of all, I would love to say hello to Bill and give him a big hug and say it's awesome that he's just making his work, because that, to me, is a big deal. I mean, people sometimes hesitate just to be able to express themselves, especially in this day and age. So that's in itself a very awesome thing. The second thing I would say is I myself graduated with a lot of debt from college, and I paid that debt off in 10 years as an artist. So I would want to share with them my experience, but also experiences of other artists who have done the same. And I would just say, too, as far as himself, being an artist means a lot of different things. It could mean that they play music. It could mean that they're performing. It could mean that they're writing. The definition of an artist is really quite gray, if you will. It's not so definitive anymore. So our audience are people who feel as though they're creative and they want to be able to make a step to bring that into their life much more and sustain their lives that way. And those are the people that we want to see. So that's the audience. So, Bill, come on over, because we want to see you. That would be awesome.
Would you guys contribute to that, Hrag or Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the case of Bill, I would say, first of all, being in Ketchikan is probably a great idea, because, you know, when we did an event here, when we did an event in Ketchikan, one of the things that I think was really key we discovered is people are really entrepreneurial and sort of thinking outside the box. And let me tell you, that's actually some of the hardest things to do with artists, to think outside the box. So already he's ahead of the game in that way. And also living in a place that respects artists and the arts. I mean, you walk into the airport and it says where art lives. I mean, that already starts. So many artists are working in communities that don't respect what they do. So that's already a beginning. But then the next step would be, okay, just so you know, the grass isn't always so much greener everywhere else. And I think often what we do is we discover that everyone thinks it's so much better elsewhere, and it's so much more supported. And New York is a great city. It's lots of opportunity, but it's also incredibly expensive, and there are a lot of limitations and different kinds of things that you're going to have to navigate. So I think it's just giving them realistic knowledge and being able to say, no, actually, these are like real stories of how people are succeeding, and then just listening to their story and figuring out how, you know, we can help them understand what next steps they may want to take.
Matthew, are these workshops, town halls, are they focused, what kind of artists are they focused on? Musicians, poets, writers, what would you say?
Well, we are formally working mainly with visual artists, sort of, and that's a very sort of expansive term. So this is everything from artists that are working in traditional media, painting, sculpture, printmaking, drawing. But we're also attracting a lot of artists, and we're interested in speaking with artists that are working in new art forms, from digital media, film and video, performance, computer work, internet-based work, and where those bleed out and extend into other disciplines as well. So we're really looking at this holistically, but I think our main target audience for at least this tour is visual artists. But again, that is multifaceted, at least from our experience.
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the great things about contemporary art now is it's sort of expanding.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. We're meeting people like textile and fabric artists, and we can say now that, you know, the art world is ready for you finally in a way, and embracing what you're doing. So it's also like letting them know that.
I also think, if I can chime in here, Scott, is that all the things that we do talk about really do apply to musicians and actors, and I've heard that along the tour, all along the way, that I've been traveling to so many different cities and places. So we welcome everybody to come.
All right, that's the voice of Sharon Loudon. We've also been speaking with Hrag Vartanian and Matthew Delegate. They are giving a talk tonight in Ketchikan from 4 to 6, but you can stream that or watch the stream of that at the Mendenhall Public Library here in Juneau. Then they'll be in town tomorrow, Tuesday, and from 5:30 to 7:30, they will be at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. We're looking forward to meeting all of you and having you up in Juneau. If people want more information about all of this, Sharon, where should they go?
They can go to my website. They can go to livesustain.org, and you can look at Artists as Culture Producer and the dates, and there's all the events that are listed there. But I would also just go to the Juneau Arts Council and to be able to check it out on their website, as well as here in Ketchikan. There's a lot. Also, you could just put in my name and Alaska, and things come up, which is awesome. I feel like I'm welcomed here in this state quite a bit, looking online, but also just meeting people in person. I'm really eager to see everybody in Juneau. It's going to be a great time there, I'm sure.
All right, again, that's 4 to 6 tonight, this evening at the Mendenhall Public Library, or 5:30 to 7 at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. Sharon Hrog and Matthew, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
De Bergerac, soldier, poet, and musician, is clever, charming, and disarming, but believes he'll never win the love of the beautiful Roxanne. Through strength and wit, he fills his life with love, honor, and panache. Perseverance Theater presents Cyrano de Bergerac by Edmund Rostand, a world premiere translation and adaptation by David Grimm. See it March 16th through April 14th. Tickets at the Jack, Hearthside Books, ptalaska.org, and 463-TIXS.
Thank you for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Before this Rachmaninoff, we were listening to Ferris and Jason Romero. They're this year's folk guest Alaska Folk Fest guest artists. They will premiere on Friday night at 8:30. Often the guest artist starts on Thursday, but this year they'll be playing at Friday night at 8:30, and then, of course, again on Sunday, and doing some workshops and such. But the Folk Fest kicks off tonight, 7 p.m. at Centennial Hall. Come on down and check that out. Free attendance. If you can't make it for some reason, you can always listen to it on KRNN. And you can also stream it at ktoo.org/folkfest. Again, you can watch video and listen to the concert thanks to KTOO Public Media right here, ktoo.org/folkfest. That's the Alaska Folk Fest kicking off tonight, Monday. It'll play all through Sunday, the next 7 days. Check it out. Lots of fun stuff. And again, ktoo.org, folkfest, there's schedules and more information there for you. I'll be your host again tomorrow on a Juno Afternoon. Teresa Soli and friends will preview the March for Science and Education. Heather Mitchell will outline theater at Latitude 58's productions. Alyssa Borges will tell us about upcoming readings at the Juno Douglas City Museum. And we'll get the latest on the Juno Community Charter School. And taking a look at the weather, currently 47 degrees with light rain here in the capital city. Tonight calls for a chance of rain with lows around 40. And Tuesday's forecast calls for a chance of rain, highs in the mid-50s, northeast winds to 15 miles per hour. And going into Wednesday, chance of rain, highs in the mid-50s. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon.